Please turn with me to Proverbs 8, and we're reading the first 11 verses of Proverbs 8, the call of wisdom. There's an opening question asking, does wisdom cry? And you know the answer. We've already heard it in the book of Proverbs. But where does wisdom cry? Well, you've already heard that before, too, in chapter 1. But we need to consider this, because we're about to consider the depths of wisdom, what wisdom really represents. Right after we looked at chapter 7, and we heard the woman who calls to herself a young man without understanding, now we hear about wisdom. To whom is wisdom given? Well, it's given both to simple and foolish people. Why listen to wisdom? Verses 6 to 11 tell us that wisdom gives it to you straight, and wisdom is extremely valuable. That's our passage. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be ripe things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Precious word of the living and the true God. Chapter 7 ended with something that happened in the nighttime, something that involved falsehood. Chapter 8 opens with a public declaration of the truth. In the open. The speech of chapter 7 was twisted, crooked. The speech of wisdom is straight and right and true. The speech of the woman was smooth and seductive, but the speech of the lady wisdom that is revealed here to us is excellent. The opening of the lips, the very speech of God, wisdom that gives you truth and guides you in righteousness. Nothing perverse. The impact of these words will be from being enslaved to sin to being part of a royal kingdom. From being brought to poverty to the greatest wealth, and especially the wealth that wisdom brings, and even moving in this chapter from death to life. You see, that's what we are being called upon to see. Wisdom is calling out, and there's a difference between wisdom and the voices of the world. So the question that opens and is said two times is, doth not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice. And the obvious answer is yes. We've already seen it in chapter 1. We already saw how wisdom cries, utters her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief place of concourse. How long, ye simple ones, will we love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Wisdom has already begun to call out. Of course, wisdom utters her voice. But there's something more. If you look at the second question, you see that understanding and her voice are put together. There's a connection between the words of wisdom that give you understanding and the voice of the Lord. The call of wisdom is the voice of God. This is God's word. Don't get confused by the fact that it's put in the feminine sense, because that's the Hebrew language. God is speaking, and he's speaking to you of wisdom. Wisdom is being given through this call. This is God's word. This is God speaking. And when God speaks of wisdom, he's able to give understanding. And that's what we need, you see. And that's why wisdom is calling openly. Where does wisdom cry? She cries in the public crossroads. She cries in the open. She cries in the daytime rather than at night. Verse 2 says, she standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. She cries openly. Did you know that God has arranged for wisdom to be provided for you at such places? Why such places? Well, because these are the places where people go, where they make decisions in their lives. These are the places where people go before they go to the market, before they go to visit a friend, before they go to school, before they go about their lives, at the crossroads where wisdom decisions are made. And wisdom is calling out. You're being told that God has provided this woman wisdom to call openly in all of these places that you might have access to wisdom. That you might have access to wisdom in these places. That's important to us. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. You know, it would be interesting, wouldn't it be, if the Lord Jesus said something like that in his earthly ministry. It would be quite amazing if the Lord Jesus spoke of calling openly in this way. Luke 14, verse 16, Jesus says to his disciples, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. They're making decisions. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Wisdom cries out. The Lord Jesus is telling the story, but he's telling us about decisions that are made at these decision points. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen who need oxygen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I married a wife. I don't need to come to this supper. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Jesus is saying that there is an invitation given to mankind. The gospel is going forth. The kingdom of God is proclaimed. Jesus has been proclaiming it in Matthew. in the passage that we saw. But only some recognize that they should come. And in the case of the story that Jesus tells, it is those who are poor and maimed and halt and blind. It is those that are compelled to come, who weren't invited at first, but who recognize the great opportunity. Do you recognize the opportunity that you're given when wisdom calls to you? Who does wisdom call to? Well, this is very much parallel to what Jesus says in his story. Verses 4 to 5 say that wisdom cries unto men, and my voice is to the sons of man. This isn't just a father to his son anymore. This is an open invitation. This is a call generally given. It's given to mankind. Wisdom is calling in the places where people make decisions. God has provided for this, and all are able to hear, and especially the ones that surprise us, the ones that are being given this opportunity. Two groups mentioned in verse 5, the simple and fools. The simple and fools. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Who are the simple? It is those that are easily led astray. Like we saw in chapter 7 and verse 7, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a man, young man void of understanding. Why is he led astray? Because he doesn't have understanding. Because he's simple. Not that he's slow intellectually. It's talking about not having wisdom. And wisdom calls to such people. In other words, you are able to receive wisdom when you don't have it. That's what the call of wisdom is designed to give you. And fools are those who are actually guilty of sin and error. They have engaged in foolish ways. They're not just capable of being led astray. They've already gone astray. That's why they're being called fools. Proverbs 26 verse 12 says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him." Being full of pride is a path of foolishness. Even a fool has more hope than such a man. So wisdom calls out. It's a general call to all humanity, especially the inexperienced and fools. And wisdom is going to provide what you need. Not wise? Wisdom can make you wise. That's what verse 5 says. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. This is the kind of speech that performs what it speaks of. As when a judge says, sentenced to 5 years, or someone performing a wedding ceremony says, I now pronounce you man of wife. God is able to bring wisdom to those who are foolish. She is able to teach and give that which is important to know. What does wisdom cry? Well, we've already seen in verse 5 what wisdom cries. Understand wisdom and be of an understanding heart. But now wisdom says one simple word in verse 6. If God is able to provide for wisdom to be given to the simple, if God is able to provide an understanding heart to fools, those who have turned away from the Lord, those who have rejected him, then he is able to provide what he calls for in verse 6. Hear. That's fully taking in, not just listening with the ears, but taking in the sense of being guided, being led, being able to respond. Hear what is being said. Hear the wisdom that's being given. Chapter 8 speaks to us as no place before in Proverbs has to this degree of the value of wisdom, of the importance of the straight path and how it's laid out. And we need to see how this points us to Jesus Christ. So why listen? Why am I to listen? What's so important that I should hear? Well, the end of verse 6 to verse 9 tells you that wisdom gives it to you straight. No crooked speech. No attempting to guide you in a way that benefits the woman who wants what she wants. No, wisdom gives it to you straight. Wisdom gives you the truth. That's one reason to listen. But the other reason is because of the great value of wisdom that we see in verses 10 and 11. So let's look at this. What is wisdom saying? Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Noble, excellent things. That's what wisdom is designed to give you. If you hear of these excellent things, you're being guided. Your mind and heart and your imagination are being formed by the things that you are hearing. Excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. When wisdom opens her lips, we hear the beginning of something that the Bible unpacks for us in very specific ways. When the Lord Jesus gets up on that mountain in Matthew 5, what does it say at the very beginning of chapter 5? We've read it several times. It says he opened his mouth and taught them. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is embodying wisdom when he opens his mouth? And this is wisdom that comes from God. When God opens his mouth to impart wisdom, he's able to provide it. He's able to call people to it. He's able to provide it in a persuasive way. In fact, the Bible is the Word of God breathed out, the Word of God written down, but breathed out, it says, from him. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Some of you have memorized this verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible is God-inspired. But that means that it's breathed out by God. The Bible is breathed out by God. God opened his lips and he provided for you the scriptures. In chapter 3, 2 Timothy and verse 15 says that the holy scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's the kind of wisdom that we really need. Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. There it is. That's the true wisdom that the scriptures provide as God opens his mouth. As wisdom opens her lips and right things are pronounced. The purpose of knowing these words of wisdom to be right so that you might trust in the words that are given to you. Proverbs 22, verse 20 puts it this way, have I not written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I may make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. That you might know the certainty of the words of truth. Why, that sounds like the Gospel of John. That sounds like the reason that the Gospel of John was written. That you might know Jesus Christ. This is the reason that God opens his lips. This is the reason that wisdom is speaking in the places of decision, so that you might know that there is a place of certainty. There is a place to know truth. Verse 7 spells it out. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. You see, that's the reason that wisdom speaks truth, because wickedness is an abomination to her lips. She's the exact opposite of the woman that we saw in chapter 7. This is one who speaks truth, because wickedness, she does not enjoy having it pass her lips. See, that's the kind of wisdom that we need. That's the kind of wisdom that comes from God. That's the kind of wisdom that we need to guide us, to give us knowledge of salvation. We need wisdom that is truthful, that has no desire to mislead us or to guide us in a self-interested path. No, wisdom gives it to you straight. Verse 8 says, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Think of how the Song of Moses described the Lord in Deuteronomy 32 in verses 4 and 5. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. You see, God is a God of truth. He's just and right. He has no perversity in him. He has nothing froward. Again, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? We see the importance of having the Lord Jesus Christ come as the God-man and stand on that mountain and open his lips, because we need to hear that which is true. In the very midst of the Pharisees and the people who twisted the truth to suit themselves, Jesus spoke openly. Jesus spoke openly, and he showed us the God who is the rock. God of truth. One who's just and right. The reason that we need to hear the words of wisdom is because they guide us in the truth, and also because wisdom does not have a flaw. It does not fail. Verses 8 and 9 tell us, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. This is the true effectiveness of God's speech. This is the effectiveness of the message of salvation that God brings. It begins to be plain to those that understand. Those that are given the wisdom by the Holy Spirit to understand, it begins to be plain to them. Psalm 12, verse 6 says this, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Pure words. When you hear that which comes from the Word of God, it becomes plain to you, because it's pure. It's not mixed with falsehood. It's not mixed with self-interest. It's not mixed with error. The words of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ stood at that tomb and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And then in the very next moment, he said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. That same mouth spoke resurrection words to Lazarus. And Lazarus arose from the dead. That's the pure word of God. That's the effective word of God coming through the lips of Jesus Christ. That's what you want to hear. That's what you need to hear. If you listen to anything else, you're listening to that which is mixed, which is impure, which is not effective. This is the one that you are to hear. This is how you know that you are hearing from God. What he announces comes to pass. Lazarus, come forth. The scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. Blessed is he who calls on the name of the Lord. When you begin to understand, you begin to find knowledge. Verse 9 says that the words of wisdom are all plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. Understanding is parallel to finding knowledge. That's what you need to find. The character of the one who seeks is being formed by what they're seeking. The book of Job compares wisdom to other substances on the earth. Listen to this, Job 28. Surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up, they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up, as it were, fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out the rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of the pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof and knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. The effect of that chapter in Job is to show us that there is no better place to pay attention and to hear than when God speaks. fearing him and departing from evil. And he has spoken that way in his Son, you see. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ in John 8 says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. God's word provides. God's word provides the fear of him. This is the flawless work of God himself. Psalm 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise simple. Making wise. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. God is able to bring about enlightenment. He's able to bring about that which can set you free. And so it follows that this wisdom is priceless. It's so valuable that it's not to be compared to anything else. And that's why we have these next two verses. Listen, because of the value of wisdom. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Wisdom is better than rubies. We heard that in Job. We've seen it before in Proverbs 3:15. But you see, you're not just being told to look at wisdom and say, wow, that is stunning. The way that you would go into a museum and say, look at that. That's a Rubens. That's a Rembrandt painting. It's different than I saw in the textbook. No. God's wisdom is designed to be received. Verse 10 is a command, you see. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. In other words, this is true wisdom. This is the pathway. This is how you know that which is most important. And so, again, the Lord Jesus Christ takes all of this upon his lips. And we live in a time when we have much more of revelation than the people who heard the book of Proverbs. We know that God has spoken in his Son. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to make things spectacularly clear for us. And so he says things to us that give us wisdom, that help us to see the categories clearly. He says in chapter 6, verse 24 of Matthew, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Amen. And then later on, talking about all the things that we worry about, all of the things that might fail. What if the hood blows off my car? What if my water heater breaks, rusts out from the bottom, and there's a puddle underneath it, and the water stops? What if I don't have enough clothes for this year? And Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Isn't that amazing? But the Lord Jesus Christ gives you a wisdom lesson and talks about the side benefit that Solomon was given of having wealth. Because the truly important thing that he was given was wisdom. But he had wealth too, as a side benefit. And yet even the flowers, even the lilies of the field, were dressed better than Solomon. Because they're dressed by the wise God, the one who made you. And Jesus says, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus Christ gives us wisdom. This is how we see everything else in perspective. This is wisdom. The very wisdom that is described for us in Proverbs 8. But it now comes through the God-man, the creator and the sustainer of all things, the one greater than Solomon. He speaks and he shows you how to put everything in its proper place. He orders your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's wisdom. That's the wisdom that comes through Jesus Christ.